This is Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Welcome. This is Duncan Newcomer. Here's a Lincoln quote for you. "There is the animal himself." Yes, that's Lincoln calling himself an animal. And what is it he is looking at? Not a mirror, not a photograph, but a mask made of his face from an actual plaster molded to his face. When he sees the mask replica of his face, he remarks in characteristic humble humor, "Ah, so there's the animal himself." This mask-making process, he said, was anything but comfortable. He had it done twice, near the beginning and near the end of his presidency. They would put reeds in his nostrils, like straws, so that he could keep breathing. The first one took an hour, and the second one, only 15 minutes. But in the spiritual life of Lincoln, we're here to say that while his animal life is truly not separate from his spiritual life, it is the spirit of Lincoln that comes through to us from his animal, his physical being. And no one, as we have been learning this month, saw the spiritual life of Lincoln in his body more than the sculptor who made Lincoln and three others at Mount Rushmore, and also the white marble bust of Lincoln at the Capitol building in Washington. In these few minutes, it is best to let that artist, Guttzum Borglum, speak for himself, for what he saw in Lincoln's body, a body he never saw in real time. Let's start with Lincoln's eyes. He writes, "The storm center of Lincoln's face was about his right eye. He would peer out at you for an instant with his right eye half closed, then would follow that uplift of his head and the receptive expression, which was so generally misread as bewilderment, hesitancy, and indecision." The artist goes on. "The mirth center was also in the right eye. The eye always gives the first evidence of humor and a merry soul, and Lincoln, I believe, had a naturally merry soul. But sadness changed this, and I found evidence that he smiled very, very often with his mouth alone, when his nature took no part in it at all. It was the sadness, the saddest feature that he had. And yet, about the right corner, there always lingered a little memory of a smile." Borglum also saw how, when Lincoln had a full and real smile, his face would change into laughter. Many observers tell of how Lincoln's face burst forth into light, erasing his dark sorrows. Borglum tells us how that laughter would work across Lincoln's face. Quote, "His nose would yield to the right side of his face, be drawn in and that direction. A line along his mouth ran up towards the right side, strong, bushy eyebrows, like the cornices on a bungalow, would move freely, creating a Homeric set of wrinkles. A large wrinkle then would descend from the lower outer part of his eye almost straight into the hollow of his cheek, becoming a strong line as he laughed. But when he was severe, that line would tighten like a rope. His left eye," wrote Borglum, "was open, noncommittal, dreamy. The brow seemed ever to question. And all this side of his face seemed primitive, unfinished. The expression was sad, undetermined." That was the left side of his face rarely photographed, the side Harriet Beecher Stowe referred to as feminine. And it was his right profile that struck Borglum as cautious, even crafty, with a lean and hungry look like Cassius, and yet had the beauty, he said, of John Keats to it. There you will find in his face the record of his development, the centuries-old marks of his maturity. There you will find on his face literally all the complexity of his great nature, a nature seeing at once the humor and the pathos of each situation as it presents itself to him. Centuries old, in such a length of days, we too can find life and honor, even down to the end of time, to the latest generation. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln.